Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC and political campaign seasons have lots of room for issues to bubble up to the surface and become major controversies for a few weeks at a time. Remember Jeremiah Wright? But I wonder if there's anyone out there who thought that a disagreement over the vaccine administered for the human papillomavirus would be one of the central issues of the moment in the Republican nomination race. An executive order issued by Governor Rick Perry in 2007 required Texas girls to receive a vaccine for the strand of HPV that can lead to cervical cancer before they enter sixth grade. Now, Perry's critics, particularly Michelle Bachmann, are crying government overreach, in addition to bringing up questions about sex education, vaccines, and pharmaceutical companies' campaign donations. Here is Rick Perry defending his decision in Monday night's debate.
It was, indeed. If I had it to do over again, I would have done it differently. I would have gone to the legislature, worked with them.
Ryan Lizza writes about politics for The New Yorker and joins us now to talk about this issue. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
All right. So to clarify that answer that he just gave, it sounds like Governor Perry actually supports this mandatory vaccine public health initiative, but regrets doing it by executive order and wishes he had gotten the Texas legislature to pass a bill. I don't think that would have satisfied Michelle Bachmann.
No, I don't think so. The legislature never would have passed a bill because they were the one. The legislators were outraged over the policy, not just the fact that the governor did it. Mm-hmm. And to his credit, in Texas, Governor Perry always defended this on healthcare grounds, that the science was sound, and that 12,000 people a year die of cervical cancer caused by the HPV. It's only when he got into the presidential campaign that he retreated a little bit from that position, and now has sort of apologized for it and saying it's a mistake. It's a very important issue to evangelical conservatives who believe that a vaccine against a disease caused by a sexually transmitted infection like HPV in some way encourages premarital sex. So this really is about the opposition to this vaccine is only partly about government interference, but more about premarital sex.
So here is Michelle Bachmann articulating some of that objection.
To have innocent little 12-year-old girls be forced to have a government injection through an executive order is just flat out wrong. That should never be done. That's a violation of a liberty interest. That's little girls who have a negative reaction to this potentially dangerous drug don't get a mulligan. They don't get a do-over. The parents don't get a do-over.
So in that clip, at least, she didn't precisely say, oh, if they feel safe from a sexually transmitted disease after getting this at age 12, then they're going to feel more inclined to have premarital sex. She didn't quite say that.
She
made it a government issue, a government injection.
She's saying something even much worse and really just incredibly irresponsible. I mean, she's saying that they're going to have she's talking about a reaction. And as you know, or maybe your listeners don't know, after the debate twice now, she has said that this vaccine, she's reported that someone told her that after getting this vaccine, their child became, as this person, or as Michelle Bachmann said, mentally retarded.
Terrible.
Which really, I mean,
it's like going to the specter of the whole discredited autism.
Absolutely.
Thing.
And look, she said this on the Today Show and on Fox News, millions of people watching, and there's absolutely no scientific evidence whatsoever that this vaccine causes any side effects but, some itching or redness in the area where the shot was produced. You could make the same case that Michelle Bachmann just made in the clip you played on any vaccination program. I mean, so the question for her becomes, you know, is she against the polio vaccine? Did she vaccinate her own children, which I'm sure she did?
And that, of course, is a government-required injection, what she calls a government injection through an executive order, or maybe it's through legislative design. Kids can't get into public school unless they've had their, the minimum set of their infant and toddler vaccinations.
Yeah, and to Perry's credit, because he did know that this was a controversial issue for religious conservatives that were concerned about the premarital sex side of this, he had an opt-out provision. So any parent could download a form from the internet, the Texas state government's website, and they could register a conscientious objection to getting the vaccine,
right,
and their child would not have to get it.
And even that wasn't enough in at least the first debate, where Rick Santorum then shot back, well, I would be for an opt-in provision. If a parent wants this, they have to request it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair public policy question, right? Should this be, if it's morally objectionable to enough of the population, should you do opt in or opt out? The healthcare, my wife's a physician and she gives lectures on HPV, I've heard about this for a while.
You either have to recuse yourself or you're the most qualified person in political journalism to speak about it.
From a public policy perspective, of course, you want to make it opt out because that gets the most people vaccinated while still giving people the choice. But if you're Rick Santorum and you think the policy is objectionable, then you want to err on the side of less people than having to deal with this. So you go with opt in. But I mean, who would have thought that this would be the big issue in the Republican primaries? But considering how irresponsible Bachman has been on attacking Perry on this issue, I mean, I would argue this could present a real threat to Perry's campaign.
Really?
Yeah, in Iowa, the electorate there that Perry has sort of stolen from Bachman, it is the religious conservative electorate who was really thrilled with Bachman early on, but figured in Perry they had a more electable candidate. And we'll see how the polls shake out in the next few weeks. But she could be successful in using this to drive a wedge into that electorate and pull some of those people back closer to her. It's a very hot issue among the evangelical conservatives.
Here is a caller who opposes mandatory HPV vaccinations from Smithtown here in New York, not in Texas. John, you're on WNYC. Hi.
I know Smithtown well.
John, go ahead.
How you doing? I think the guest's comment is a little overreaching about the evangelicals not wanting it because it encourages sexual activity. I think what it comes down to for small republics, small government Republicans like me, is it's really, I don't want the government telling me what goes into my body. And it shouldn't be an opt-out system. It should be an opt-in system. If I want the HPV vaccine, I should be able to opt in. It shouldn't be something I have to opt out of.
How about...
It also comes down to internet access. You had to download the form off the internet. Now, if I'm low income and I don't have internet, how am I getting this form? And who's telling me about where I can get this opt-out form?
How far would you take it, John, from the small government perspective? Opt-in for polio vaccines?
It comes to... Everything should be voluntary. It should be a voluntary society. I'm an individual. I have the right to choose, and as a parent, I have the right to choose for my children. So if I don't want to get the polio vaccine for my child, that's my choice. I mean, and that has to be respected.
Would you have the public schools remove their current requirement for kids, little kids, to have had polio and, others in that early childhood sequence in order to get admission to school?
It shouldn't be in public schools, and that's the problem. We have this society where if I have to take all these vaccinations and stuff said by the government, mm-hmm, because I can't afford to send my kids to private school.
John,
is that right?
Thank you very much. So there's a strain of thinking.
No, so fair point that it's not just religious conservatives who care about premarital sex. It is truly there's a libertarian side of this argument of very serious anti-government beliefs that folks think that the government should not have mandatory vaccines. Although when pressed, I think it complicated his argument a little bit. But again, I personally think when you have the opt out provision and you have a means for people to get it, maybe
right,
if you don't have internet, you have some other way to get it.
Right.
It's pretty good public policy.
Has there been in your reporting, and I haven't heard this because I keep hearing the Michelle Bachmans of the world, who aren't usually friends of the feminist community, but is there any organized feminist reaction to the mandatory vaccine saying, hey, come on, there's a whole sorry history of women and girls being forcibly injected with things by by the government or being, you know, forced by technology or whatever to be the ones who bear the brunt of birth control?
Yeah.
And why isn't there an HPV vaccine for boys if it's a sexually transmitted disease?
You know, that is a very good question that I'm afraid I don't have the answer to. But the policy in Texas was girls only, was, you know, and obviously, I mean, HPV is extremely, extremely common. I was looking at some statistics yesterday. I mean, something like 80-90% of us will carry HPV at some point. Most of the time, it's completely harmless, and our body's natural immune response fights it off.
With what percent of carriers winding up with cervical cancer?
With the percentage, the number that the CDC cites is 12,000 a year. So obviously, percentage-wise, it's low, but 12,000 is 12,000.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so that's the scientific and public health basis for this whole discussion.
Exactly, which is what Perry did try. You know, he's not the. I mean, one of the things we've learned from these debates is he's not a great. He's not the best communicator. He sort of struggled to explain himself, I thought, the other night, and explain why he did this. But he does try and come back to the point that at the end of the day, what he was trying to do is save people from dying horrible deaths from cervical cancer.
Maybe it's not easy for the words to come out of the mouth of someone of his politics that the simple statement, this is just good public health policy, this is government's job.
Yeah, because it's a. I mean, you're right about that. There is a. You know, he's presented himself as being on the side and really being on the far side of this libertarian debate, right? And this policy really does undercut that credential.
One more thing about this that I think is really important to get to before we run out of time, and that is a campaign donation angle, at least an alleged one. Here is another part of Michelle Bachmann's critique. This also from Monday night's debate.
What I'm saying is that it's wrong for a drug company because the governor's former chief of staff was the chief lobbyist for this drug company. The drug company gave thousands of dollars in political donations to the governor, and this is just flat out wrong.
So what about those donations and the role they may have played in requiring their product to be administered to every 12-year-old girl in Texas?
You know, Bachmann's got a case here. There is and this has been pretty well documented. There is a connection between campaign donations and a friend of a former chief of staff who was a lobbyist for Merck. Merck, the maker of the main HPV vaccine, was heavily lobbying state legislatures to do mandatory vaccination programs. They've actually, I read that they stopped doing that because it was so controversial. They stopped the lobbying campaign. So there, Bachmann has a case that Perry, this issue was brought could have been brought to Perry's attention because of lobbying from Merck. So you know that's important for people to make a decision about Perry. On the other hand, from what I can tell, the public health merits are pretty sound. Whether it all originated with Merck and campaign finance shenanigans or not.
Gee, so does this mean Michelle Bachmann is very concerned about our campaign finance system, where corporations are given the rights of individual human beings and can make unlimited donations?
Well, that's one thing a libertarian argument you don't always hear is we all of us do have a constitutional right to petition our government, and that's what lobbyists do. But even the hardcore libertarians haven't really mounted a defense of the lobbying industry yet.
Well, Ryan, I think Michelle Bachmann and Rick Perry and maybe Mitt and Newt will want to tune in and take notes to our next guest, who's going to be the PBS NewsHour anchor Jim Lehrer, who has a brand new book all about the history of presidential debates.
You're lucky to have him.
So
I was just watching him on Colbert or Stewart. So it sounds like some amazing anecdotes from that book.
Yes, and we're going to have clips of debates in the recent past, at least in the broadcast era. So we'll have some fun as well as some interesting discussion with Jim Lehrer coming right up as we finish talking about HPV and the vaccine for it an issue in the Republican presidential debates that are going on now. Ryan Lizza writes about politics for The New Yorker. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian.
And Jim Lehrer next.